"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, we become a podcast. John Cobell Show on demand on the iHeart app, and you can hear what you missed. As you know, we had the election last Tuesday, for goodness sakes, and they're still counting the votes, but the vote margins in the L.A. County District Attorney's race hasn't changed all that much. Gascon's at 24%, Nathan Hochman at 16.5%, John Hatami, over 13%. He's about 3 points behind Hochman, but running out of time, and we're going to talk to John now. First chance we've had to talk since Election Day. John, how are you? Welcome.
Good. Thank you so much for having me, John.
Well, how are you feeling? Obviously disappointed, but talk about what it was like going through the early returns as the race was shaking out.
I mean, first off, I'm so grateful to you and John Phillips and Jen Horn for, you know, backing this campaign and for, you know, bringing attention to what's been happening in Los Angeles for the last 3.5 years. I'm really thankful to my wife, who's on patrol right now, definitely, you know, sacrificing the time that I could spend with her and my kids. I'm also thankful to all of the supporters. So many people, John, just a grassroots group of people came out to support us. I mean, people don't realize that there are some people who ran this race who are independently wealthy. I'm not one of them. And so, you know, the day after the election, I was back at work. I still have 14 active child murder cases. I still continue to fight for children who are abused, neglected, and murdered. No matter what happens, I'm going to keep fighting for the citizens of Los Angeles. And, you know, I was back at work today as well. And so it's tough. You know, we ran a good, honorable campaign. But I'm incredibly grateful to so many people who backed this campaign. We've had thousands of DMs and emails from people all over LA. Just, you know, so grateful for their support and so grateful for the opportunity to go out and run for district attorney and to fight for everyone here in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Was it just Nathan Hochman's television campaign was too much? Hey.
I mean, he outraised us 3-1, where, you know, I bought my home with the VA home loan and, you know, we work every day. Nathan is independently wealthy. And so that's tough. You know, it's tough to go against somebody who raised, you know, $2.5 million. That's definitely a huge challenge. You know, I learned a lot. You know, it requires raising a lot of money when you run for office in Los Angeles County, because the county is so big. And so, yeah, I think that that was definitely a huge challenge for us to try to overcome. You know, we finally got some commercials at the end there, but, you know, Nathan had been running commercials for like a month and a half. So that's you know, tough. I think it's a huge challenge. I do think, though, that we all should congratulate Nathan for getting, you know, in second place and making it to the runoff. And I think I hope that we're all still going to fight as hard as we can to get George Gascon out of office.
Yeah, I know, you know, some of our listeners were really connected to your campaign, really invested in you, and they're upset that you didn't win. And we've been talking about this on the air the last week. We have to go back to our original purpose, and that's to get Gascon out of office. And if Nathan Hochman is going to be the vehicle to get Gascon out of office, then, you know, everybody's got to get behind Nathan, because I don't think in substance there was a whole much. There wasn't that much difference between how you felt and how he felt about what Gascon has done.
Yeah, I think what people need to first step back and realize that a lot of people in Los Angeles have suffered during the last 3.5 years under George Gascon. A lot of victims and survivors and surviving family members have suffered as a result of that as well. You know, we have to always look at to what is, you know, the goal, and the goal is to make Los Angeles safer for all of us, for our children, for our families. And so that's always important. No matter what, John, I'm going to continue to keep doing that. I'm a deputy district attorney, and, you know, I've been working in the office for 18 years. My wife's a deputy sheriff. We're not going anywhere. We're going to continue to make sure that our community's safe. And, you know, it all depends on, you know, what exactly is, you know, my mission, and what am I going to do next? And I'm also religious, so I believe that God has a plan for each and every one of us. And so you got to figure out kind of what that is and do the best that we can. You know, I want to make Los Angeles safer for my kids and for all the other kids here in L.A. And, you know, that means it could be a lot of different things that I'm going to do. And remember, you know, I've been fighting George Gascon for the 3.5 years he's been in the office. I was the first one to step forward. I got involved in both recalls. I'll continue to actively work as hard as I can to make L.A. a safer place for all of us.
Gascon only gets about 24% of the vote, and some people were surprised that that was enough for first place. And does that mean Gascon is on a glide path? And I keep telling them, look at it the other way. 76% of the county voted against him, and now all that anti-Gascon vote can be consolidated into one candidate.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's stuff that we can look at to be positive, but also, here's one thing I will say, John, we can't underestimate George Gascon. And so we need to actively, constantly get more people involved in this movement. We need to actively get out. The amount of people who voted wasn't very high. No. And so we need to educate individuals in Los Angeles as much as we can. I mean, you know, from dealing with Prop 47, which passed, because a lot of times people are not paying attention to really what's going on.
Because they see one line at the top that says Safe Neighborhood and Schools Act, and they don't know it's going to lead to a massive epidemic of thievery, shoplifting.
Right, right. We need to, you, me, John Phillips, Jen Horn, a lot of good people need to constantly actively educate individuals about what these policies are doing to us here in Los Angeles, and how we're all impacted by a lot of these laws that are created. And, you know, it constantly makes our community more and more unsafe. And so we have to constantly actively do that. We need more good leaders to step forward and not be afraid to challenge the status quo, and not be afraid to represent our community and what's happening in our community. We need people to do that. And so those things are important. I'm not going anywhere. I'd love to be on your show anytime.
Oh, definitely.
I'm looking forward to trying to overturn Prop 47.
Well,
and make our community safer as well.
Yeah, because to go back to what you said, I always tell people, you know, the enemy is not the other side politically. It's the apathetic people. It's the people not aware of what's going on in the world. And they wonder why things are the way they are. It's because a lot of people aren't paying attention. They're scrolling TikTok. They're not reading and learning about the real world very much.
And you're right. You know, the great thing about, at least I think my campaign, is I'm a Democrat. I know John Phillips is a Republican. Jen Horne's a Republican. Mike Garcia, who's my congressman, is a Republican. We brought a lot of Democrats and Republicans together for the common good, which is we want to make our children safer. We want to make our community safer. We want to make sure people who commit crimes are actually held accountable for those crimes. We want the DA to do the job of the DA. We want to support our police officers, make sure that they're safe. Those are common goals that I think Republicans and Democrats have.
Yeah,
I hope people see that.
I don't think enforcing the law that we've all agreed on should be a political controversy. You know, we have a legislature, we have a governor, we have collectively agreed these are the laws, these are the penalties, this is what we want prosecuted. Just do it unless the public wants a change.
Right. I mean, law and order is not a bad thing.
No.
Prosecuting crime, if you're the DA, is not a bad thing. Police officers arresting people who are committing crimes is not a bad thing. I think somehow some people have made that a bad thing. It's not. If you commit crimes, then we need to do something about that. If you hurt somebody, we need to hold you accountable for that. If you are doing bad things and committing hate crimes or committing theft, or committing organized retail theft or you know, victimizing others, we need to do something about it and make sure that we fight for the people who can't fight for themselves. And those aren't bad things. Following the law and supporting our police officers aren't bad things. Those are all good things. And so, you know, I'm going to continue to lead, and I'm going to continue to speak out, and I'm definitely going to continue to fight for children, especially children who are hurt or abused. And I'm also going to continue to fight for our foster care system, because we have a lot of foster kids, you know, who need homes, John. And I think that's the way to change things, is not release people after they murder and rape somebody, but try to help kids before that.
All right, Jonathan, you're welcome anytime. If you've got an issue or a case and you want to talk about it on the air, you want to get people interested in something, if there's another atrocity committed by Gascon this year, please, you're welcome to come on with us anytime.
Thank you so much, John. I hope you and your viewers are safe, and let's unite to get him out of office.
All right. Jonathan and Tommy, thank you for coming on. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, we've had a lot of airplane and Boeing news today. Because there was there was about half a dozen bizarre incidents in the last week, most of them involving Boeing planes. And the latest one that got international headlines was this plane that was flying between New Zealand and Australia. And it suddenly dropped down 500 feet, nosedived. And everybody in the plane who didn't have a seatbelt on hit the roof. Literally, their heads and their bodies smacked up against the roof and stayed up there as long as the plane was going down. And 13 people ended up going into the hospital, banging their heads, twisting their necks. The pilot said that their gauges suddenly went blank on the dashboard. At the same time, the Wall Street Journal released a story today on how even the CEO of Boeing admits that their production process has got huge problems, because when a plane is put together piece by piece, it sits at one production station, the crew does the work, and it goes on to the next station, and then the next one. Well, if there's some issue at a production station, they send it on anyway, and they'll fix what they have to fix somewhere down the road, because they can't block the production line. The planes have to keep moving. They have to keep moving. And if one particular plane has a problem, they don't stop and say, okay, we shut the line down until we fix the problem. No, let's keep it moving, keep it moving. Planes are parked outside in a lot, outside the factory, with serious issues. But we'll get to it later. Now this. Headline, I'm going to read this from the BBC. This just came over less than an hour ago. Boeing whistleblower found dead. John, a former Boeing employee known for raising concerns about the production standards, has been found dead. He'd worked for 32 years. John Barnett's his name. He retired in 2017. In the days before his death, he was giving evidence in a whistleblower lawsuit against Boeing. 62 years old, they claim he died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound 2 days ago, Saturday. And this was in Charleston County. I don't know where that is. He worked as quality manager at the North Charleston plant from 2010 to 2017, making the 787 Dreamliner, which is the plane that took the nosedive, right? Mm-hmm. In 2019, he told the BBC that the workers were under such pressure that they were deliberately fitting substandard parts to the aircraft on the production line. He uncovered serious problems with the oxygen systems, which meant one in four breathing masks would not work in an emergency. He said, oh, this is in South Carolina. Soon after starting work, he was concerned that the push to get new aircraft built meant the assembly process was rushed, safety was compromised. He told the BBC workers had failed to follow procedures to track components through the factory. This is very, very similar to the Wall Street Journal article this morning. So defective components would go missing. In some cases, the substandard parts were removed from scrap bins and fitted on planes that were being built so there'd be no delays in the production line. So these are parts that were already considered bad.
Unbelievable.
Threw them out in a trash bin. They retrieved them from the scrap bin and put them on the planes anyway because they had to keep it moving. The emergency oxygen systems on the 787 Dreamliner showed a failure rate of 25%. He told managers no action was taken. Boeing denied everything. Eventually, an FAA did uphold some of Mr. Barnett's concerns. They found 53 non-conforming parts in the factory, and they were considered lost, but I don't think they were lost. I think these were the 53 parts that were put on the planes. And eventually they admitted that some of the oxygen bottles were not deploying properly. Then he had this lawsuit going on because he accused Boeing of denigrating his character and hampering his career because he was whistleblowing. And he was still giving depositions last week. He had been due to undergo further questioning on Saturday. He did not appear. They went to his hotel. He was found dead in his truck in the hotel parking lot. Well, this is like Russian stuff. This is mafia stuff.
Unless, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. He was under so much pressure and he just couldn't take it anymore. His life was ruined and he just didn't want to go on.
Right. Either Boeing killed him directly or he killed himself because right. of...
Either way, he's not going to be testifying.
Right. I'm sure the Boeing lawyers are not unhappy. Because there's nothing, it's very rare, but there's nothing more dangerous than a guy who won't stop telling the truth.
Right.
Because if you tell enough truth, it's just going to overwhelm the other side. You know, they could try to spin it. They could try to discredit you. But if you keep coming with the goods.
He's trying to save people's lives.
I never thought it was this bad. This is really tough stuff.
It really is.
And, you know, the Wall Street Journal article today was pretty scary because all the incentives were to keep the production line going. And now the CEO is saying they're going to change that they're going to give bonus money based on the quality of the planes. I mean, who knew, right? They actually had an incentive program that incentivized you overlooking trouble. The kind of trouble that he's talking about here, bad parts on a plane.
How do those people, I know I sound like a broken record, but how do those people keep their jobs? I mean, seriously.
Well, if everybody's doing it, if everybody.
Okay, now we know that there was a mandate, basically. Yeah. No, saying,
there was.
Right? So whoever started that mandate, whoever encouraged that, out.
All right. You have issued a decree.
I have.
We got new news.
Out!
There you go. It's been seconded.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand, the podcast. There is this relentless desire on the part of all these left-wing progressive governments to give money away to people who are complete failures at living a normal life, who can't master the basics of holding a job and paying the rent, which really isn't that hard because there's hundreds of millions of people that do it in America every day. It's not that hard. And I don't think it takes any special intellect or talent or education simply to hold a job so you can pay the rent and buy food. And I realized the left-wing reason to be is to redistribute money, penalize people who are successes, penalize people who work hard. They hate capitalism. They hate people who own property. They hate, you know, wealthy people. How you get an obsession like that, I don't know. You know, I understand what makes up their philosophy. I don't understand how they get there. And I don't understand why they keep trying stupid programs that fail. All right, have at it. Go ahead. Give a lot of tax money away to people who are whacked out on drugs, who can't hold a job. Let's see what happens. Oh, look at that. They're still whacked out on drugs. They're still living in a tent. So maybe the money doesn't fix the problem. But, you know, I have to go back to, they want to penalize me. Because I get up in the morning, go to work, and pay my bills, I'm bad. I mean, it's really a psychosis, isn't it? I don't get it. And nobody even tries to explain this either. Well, here's a story. Sacramento, city of Sacramento, created Camp Resolution. It was a homeless encampment that had spontaneously formed on a vacant lot on Colfax Street. And instead of bulldozing the site, which was the original plan, they decided they would give all the homeless people there Elise. Well, they're described as the camp residents. No, these are vagrants and crazy people, right? Okay. The residents. And the activists went nuts. Wow. This was the first of its kind. The homeless encampment could remain in place and govern itself. Govern itself without city interference. Yeah, let's get a large group of drug addicts and mental patients together and let them govern themselves. What could go wrong? Other cities, like San Jose, said they're considering similar models. So everybody's looking at Sacramento. Well, Sacramento has not opened a second encampment. It has not handed out a second lease, and they're not going to. The residents of the camp still don't have electricity or running water. Well, of course they don't. They set up their tents on an empty lot. The license just allowed them to stay on the lot. But you need a city to provide electricity and running water, and you need taxpayers to fund that infrastructure. Taxpayers go to work to pay the taxes. You can't just sit there on the empty lot and expect what? We're going to bring you a water pipe and we're going to bring you electrical lines? And now they're complaining they feel forgotten. And listen to this. This is at CalMatters. These troubles highlight the logistical and ethical dilemmas that come with setting aside outdoor space for homeless residents. Ethical dilemmas. What? How about we make a deal and everybody teach their kids this? Here's the deal on life. You have to go to work every day. Doesn't matter what kind of job. You do have to make a certain amount of money, but you don't have to be Jeff Bezos. You got to get up every day and have a purpose, earn some money, keep most of it for yourself, and the little bit goes to keep the city running. You know, infrastructure like electricity and water. And then that's it. Why don't we give up on all these rescue programs where we give them leases, we give them checks, we give them food? The rule is, no, you get off the drugs and the booze, go get mental health treatment, and you have to go to work, period. And because even in Sacramento, everybody's getting fed up with the homelessness. This is like year 7, year 8 of this nonsense. In fact, the district attorney in Sacramento, in the county, we've had him on the air. He's starting to prosecute the government, prosecuting the city for allowing the homeless encampments. But just letting them be, giving them a lease, the history of Camp Resolution was started in 2022. Sharon and Joyce Jones, a married couple in their 50s, found themselves homeless for the first time. Look, you're a couple, you both work, there is 0% chance you should be homeless. There is no other answer, by the way. I'm gonna sound very repetitive, like a broken record. There is no other choice other than you got to go to work, period. Get off the drugs, get off the booze. We got the rehab programs. Go get a job. Because if they don't get a job, you have to get a job to pay your taxes. I have to get a job and pay taxes. Somebody's got to work. I don't want to work for them. My sympathy bucket is empty. Because I know, we all know what the real problem is. They're a bunch of addicts and they don't want to get any better. They don't even try. Then listen to this proposal. This is a new bill in New York State. Inmates leaving prison get $2,600 to help them on the way out. $2,600, $400 a month for 6 months. And as it currently stands, in the bill, there's no limitations how or where the money can be spent. So we're giving them a six-month paycheck. Do whatever you want with it. Gee, what do you think the prisoners are going to do? And then in a year, we're going to be told the program did not work the way we expected it to. And they just never give up. And all this fails. All of it fails. Believe me, if there was a successful program, they would have expanded this program to every town, every city. They would have increased the amount of money and the benefits. None of these work. Because if you're just this pile of sludge sitting there, snorting and injecting drugs, drinking booze, or, you know, your brain does the crazy dance every day, that's it. There's no fixing that in a lot of cases. No amount of money.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
I've been referencing the district attorney's race from time to time this afternoon. Because they're still counting votes. And I went to the New York Times website, and only 70% of the votes been counted. 70%. It's a week. And then I notice a little asterisk at the bottom, and it says latest results from March. Oh, it's at the top. Latest results from March 9th. Well, March 9th was Friday. They haven't counted any votes since Friday? The County Registrar's Office, Dean Logan's office, nobody shows up Saturday and Sunday, 24 hours, 24/7. Nobody? They still got almost a third of the vote not counted. Isn't that incredibly stupid? But it looks like it's Gascon and Hochman. To be fair, I don't think even counting all the votes is not going to change the final outcome. But it's good to see that I'm not the only one who thinks this should have been counted, you know, maybe by Wednesday. Richard Grinnell, who has been an ambassador, Assemblyman Bill Assaley from the Inland Empire, and Carl DeMaio from, he's down in the San Diego area. He's running for Assembly and is going to go on to the runoff. They put together a joint statement and said it's been 6 days since Californians voted. It's an outrage that the Secretary of State of California has yet to finish the vote counting. What could possibly be taking so long? It used to be the morning after, at the latest, we'd know. And what they put in their, this is the question. How can we trust a system that's only counted about two-thirds of the vote after 7 days? Where it looks like nobody shows up to work weekends. The longer they have the vote, the more suspicious it is. The more you start to wonder what's going on behind the scenes. I think that second Gascon recall, there was something terribly suspicious about it. And they passed a bill, and Newsom signed this. This is all Newsom. Because he took advantage of the COVID panic. And they passed an executive order mandating vote by mail. And then he made it permanent in 2021. And listen to the way he spun it. States across our country continue to enact undemocratic voter suppression laws. Oh, requiring somebody to show up in person is voter suppression. You see how he inverted the language there? Saying, hey, it's wide open here, 13 hours, just show up and vote. Well, that's voter suppression. And then he signed an assembly bill that required a mail-in ballot be sent to every registered voter in the state, and it gives everybody 30 days to count the votes. So, of course, they're going to go real slowly. Conway's here.
Hey now, did you watch the Oscars?
I was driving.
where are you going?
Well, I was in Arizona going to the spring.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I saw the very end of the rerun. By the time I got home, it was 10:45.
Yeah, I taped it, and then I fast-forwarded through
a lot
of it. Yeah, it is odd to
me. My interest hit zero about 10 years ago. It never came back.
I wonder if that's starting to become over, you know, where you elevate people on a level that are really, you know, they're acting.
I don't know.
I understand, you know, honoring a guy who has the most points in the NBA or has the most NFL championships or hit most home runs. I get that because that guy worked his ass off from age 3 or 4 for his entire life and had to be very disciplined in what he did and what he didn't do to get to that level. But acting?
It's just something I feel like I grew out of.
Right.
Like I'm watching adults play pretend.
You remember when you were a kid and you put on a show for mom and dad? I mean, isn't that what they're doing, just with money?
Yeah, they're dressing up and affecting voices and reading a script. I don't know. See, the thing is, when I look at them, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just whacked out.
It's possible.
I just look at them acting. It's like, oh, look, like he memorized some lines and he's playing pretend.
Right. And
it's just.
And by the way, when they get up there to present an award, they're acting. And when they receive the award, they're acting. Their whole lives are acting.
I guess, you know, you're either into it or not.
Yeah. And
not everybody's into basketball either.
That's right. That's right. But at least in basketball and football, baseball, hockey, they're doing something you can't do.
I think it's the enormous self-regard they all have for this that's really off-putting.
That's right. Yeah, that's probably it. But, you know, I feel bad for the people who put together that Barbie movie. They made the most amount of money, and they nominated for, I don't know, 8, 9 awards, whatever, and it only got Best Song, which isn't even a movie award. It should be a Grammy award.
I don't know. They all got paid well.
But they took advantage of Barbie's audience. They nominated it for 7 or 8 awards to get those people to watch, and then they screwed them out of every award.
I don't think I was in the target demo on that one.
I don't think you were either.
No.
Did you see Barbie?
No.
Did you see Oppenheimer?
Yeah, and I found it boring.
It's a lot like Barbie.
Long,
Oppenheimer.
And I didn't, the timeline just, I like things to have a beginning, middle, and end.
It was 3.5 hours, that show. Could have flown to Cleveland that time.
I'm not a movie critic type. I mean, you know.
Ken was great with the movie.
People like to watch what they want to watch. But okay. You ask me an independent question, zero interest in Barbie. I thought I'd be into Oppenheimer. It went on for like 3.5 days.
Too long.
Out of order. And like the whole story was backwards. I can't follow that. Okay.
All right. What a fun guy to go to the movies with.
Yeah. I'm not your movie date.
My mom would go to the movies and we went to see that movie Get Shorty. I went with my mom, and she, in this loud a voice, they had a minivan that they used in the movie, and in this loud a voice in a packed theater said, turned to me and said, you know, I have that van at home. I'm like, what the Christ? Who, first of all, who cares? And why would that be something you picked up on this movie? That you have a country van or a countrywide van
little glitch in mom's brain there.
I have a van like that, Tim. Like, what the hell? What's going on here? What's going on with this lady? All right, ding dong with you, Johnny. Come on.
Conway's next. Corsia's got the news. Live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.